And we are live. Welcome back, everybody, to the Dubai Life podcast. This morning, we have Mr. Asim Mohammed on the show. Asim has been here for the last couple of months at luxuryproperty.com. He's a real character, and I'm excited to introduce him to you all. So, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Liam. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. First of all, I have to apologize for Sunday. Asim was here on the dot, 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I totally forgot. I had a meeting at 10 in the marina, and my apartment's in the marina, so I thought I'd work from home that morning. And just want to apologize.
Yeah, that's all right.
Really sorry.
It comes with the job.
I felt really bad. How's everything?
Everything's good. Yeah. Quite all right. Yeah.
How has life been since you joined Luxury Property?
Well, quite nice. I mean, I really like the environment over here, and the most important part is the team I'm working with. I mean, I really like the people around. And
who's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite yet, but yeah, I like everybody. I mean, to be honest, Joanne.
Yeah.
She is so lovely. I mean, she's been running up and down for everything, and she gets me the best coffee. I mean, I've been having. Who I am not making myself. So, yeah, definitely.
What makes a good coffee for you?
I mean, if it is fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are using the beans and you're not using the electric machine to grind the bean, if it is done manually, it really conceals the aroma inside, and I quite love it.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Talk to me about what you're doing here at Luxury Property. So, what are you focused on? What are you specializing in? And what projects do you like?
Well, I specialize in off-plan,
right?
Off-plan properties in Dubai.
Yeah.
And main focus is been with Emaar since past few years. They're the best, and they're someone who I'm going to put my own money in. So yeah, that's one of the main focus with. And apart from Emaar, Miras, as it is.
Miras do great lifestyle projects.
Definitely. And it's best for end users who are going to use the property themselves.
I agree.
You buy gold and you don't let it out. You use it yourself.
Yeah.
That's the whole key. So, yeah, for an investor base, Emaar is... Emaar, they have proved themselves.
Yeah.
They don't make a building. They make communities.
And, yeah.
You have seen, we both have been working with them, and we both have seen it. So yeah, Emaar and Miras are my basic
two favorites. And out of the developers, which project specifically do you like to work on? I always find it easier when you really like a project or a property. It's so much easier to sell because you believe in it. And even with Emaar, there's some projects that I like much better than others, and some Emaar projects that I don't really like to push too much, or not push, that's the wrong word, but promote as much as others, because I really believe in other projects more than the ones that perhaps just don't have something unique. I think a property or a project has to be compelling. Indeed. If it's not compelling, it's not selling.
Indeed.
So I like to really work on things that I like and that I would buy myself. What do you think those projects are for you?
I mean, if we talk about Emaar, but definitely Dubai Creek Harbour, if I look at it and what it is going to be, that is going to be something really, really amazing, and something I haven't seen anything like it. I mean, the apart from the tallest tower.
Yeah.
Do you know the height of the tower?
1,000 meters?
1,300 and a little
no
bit
way.
More.
Yeah. Seriously?
Santiago Clavatar, Spanish architect.
Okay.
Yeah, he's known.
What has he done before?
I'm not very familiar, because I'm not very familiar with real estate outside Dubai. So this is the only thing which he has done here in Dubai, and that's what I'm aware of. But it's very funny. The entire construction of that tower, you won't believe, Liam, it is based on the principle of a suspension bridge.
No way.
Yes, it is.
Really? With the I kind of get that, because you've got the
cables
coming down. It's like a really super modern version of Brooklyn Bridge, which I went and visited last February.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. And a funny thing about it, nobody's going to live in it.
I know. It's only for
observation.
I mean, how high is the observation deck going to be? Is that 1,000?
It's at 1,000. It starts from 1,000 meters, and you're going to be having restaurants, cafeterias, a telescoped observation center, and on the very top, just under the canopy, they're making a sky garden.
Okay.
Like there's a place you can book as a banquet for your marriage, maybe.
Oh, nice. For my marriage.
For
anyone's marriage. Yeah, yeah. I thought you were okay. That's it's certainly a fascinating project, and the mall's going to be underneath it, right? The Emaar Square, is it going to be called?
Yeah, I mean, the base goes several levels below the ground, and it is connected, the tower is connected with two malls.
Two malls.
Each one of them is nearly the size of the Dubai Mall.
So in its entirety, it's almost going to be double the size of Dubai.
Massive.
Mall. Like a village almost, or
the world's biggest Chinatown is coming.
I saw that
in those malls, and they're redefining retail. They're going to be drones doing the delivery of your shopping and things. So yeah, so many things, so many amazing things going to be happening over there. But apart from that project, the other project which I find really really interesting and from the perspective of an investor,
yeah,
is Emaar South.
Emaar South, okay.
Yes. I know it's you might think it's too far, and people say it's at the end of Dubai, and bloody owls won't go there and things. But no, that's it's bang opposite to an airport, yeah. Which sooner than you might think,
biggest airport in the world. DWC.
Sooner than you might think, the main airport of GCC. And the biggest.
Do you know what the story is with that? Because some people have said to me they're going to put all of Emirates from that base, and other people have said no, Emirates is going to take over all of DXB, and then the rest of the carriers will fly out from DWC. Do you know?
Well, nobody knows. What's exactly.
I think it would make
happen.
More sense to have all of the world's airlines in DWC, and Emirates just have a base at DXB, the current Dubai airport, but I don't know.
Yeah, even I don't.
Both are huge. Even DXB right now is one of the world's largest.
I haven't seen anything like it anywhere else.
Just non-stop. Every time I go and pick my my friends and family, I have a lot of visitors coming to Dubai, and every time I go, I sit there in that little waiting area, and the people just coming through. Any time of the day I go, if it's the middle of the night, or it's early morning, or late evening, it's just packed. Constant flow of people just coming through.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
I think 20 million visitors come through the airport every year. Am I right in saying that? Maybe more?
Yeah. It can be more. Can you imagine that?
It's insane.
And now imagine the Al Maktoum airport. I mean, they haven't announced it yet, but there are speculations that it's going to be 100 gates.
Mm.
100 gates. I mean,
wow. That's just
ridiculously
ridiculous.
Yeah. So Emaar South.
Emaar South is an interesting one. Great
very
prices, good value, because you can get an Emaar villa there, right? For how much?
2.4,
you can get what? Independent villa.
Four bedroom, three bedroom, on the golf course.
On the golf course.
18 hole championship golf course.
Yeah.
I mean, where in Dubai you can get a independent villa?
What the sizes we're talking about? Starting from how much?
The plot sizes are about, I mean, the biggest plot size is 6,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yes, and
it's good value, isn't it? If you want a golf course lifestyle, you're not too bothered about the distance, you know, maybe you don't mind driving, 20 minutes into the city? 25 minutes? 30 minutes?
Yeah, from the centre, maximum, it's going to take 25 to 30 minutes.
25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. However, it does seem far today. But that's what they say about the entire New Dubai, if you remember. I mean,
yeah, back in the day, everything was far.
Yeah. So I don't.
When you come to Dubai, you quickly forget how far people travel in the rest of the world to go to work in the morning. People Indeed. Travel 2 hours to get into London.
Yes.
Every
yes,
day.
Yes, they do.
So 25 minutes, 30 minutes is nothing. And Absolutely. It's great value and potentially a lot of capital appreciation over the long term, I think.
A lot. Today is a desert over there. Once it's going to be completed and the entire community, it's a master community, which they're developing over there, and most...
And it's going to be an amazing golf complex because it's the same designers, European Golf Design, EGD, they did the Creek, and yes. they did Dubai Hills Estate.
Yes.
So the golf course is going to be spectacular, and this company have designed amazing projects and courses in America and also in Scotland, but they're very famous. They've been around since the 80s, so they're going to make it really special. So it's not just going to be an average place to live. It's going to be...
No.
It's going to be
championship
off the standard we would expect for a new project from Umar. So that's good recommendations. Hopefully, people on the show will be interested and they can get in touch with you. Obviously, at luxuryproperty.com. And
I mean, it is an interesting project, to be honest. And the value which it's going to provide, you can't find that sort of value anywhere else. Yep. At the moment, and I mean, all the pilots, all the Emirates pilots, there yes. is an Emirates Aviation Institute nearby, all the faculty, yeah. all the trainees. I mean, where do you think? I mean, I interviewed three pilots, all of them are my clients, and I asked them, what is your ideal accommodation? What could be an ideal accommodation for you? And all of them,
they all like golf.
They said the same. They all like golf, of course, but they said the same reply. The distance from their bed till the cockpit to be as less as possible because their entire life is traveling.
But comfortable, like they don't want to be living in small place.
Of course,
like, they might be close to the airport now, DXB Airport, but that close to there, I guess you've got Murdiff, right?
Murdiff is still far.
But it's quite far.
Deira.
Perhaps they don't want to live in Deira. Perhaps they want a nice villa, a spacious greenery, golf course. So this is perfect for them.
Of course, it's a gated community, Emar community. So you get the premium lifestyle over there. So yeah, indeed, it's brilliant.
Nice. Good recommendations. Thanks. Like it. Talk to me a little bit more. How long have you been in Dubai, Asim?
I've been in Dubai for 6 years now.
6 years?
Yes.
Similar to myself. I'll be 6 years in... How many days? What day are we on today? 7 days. I came on the 27th of June, so almost at my 6 year
You've
mark.
Noted down the date. I have actually forgotten.
Have
which
you?
Date. Yeah.
I remember no the idea. Date. I remember the time we landed on an evening flight. I remember driving past the Burj Khalifa, amazed.
Well,
for me, it was a really quick decision. Like within a month, we'd agreed that we were going to come to Dubai, and we just came out. We'd never been before, didn't do any research, and just went in and just went for it, basically. How about yourself? Where were you living before Dubai?
I was living in India.
Okay.
Before Dubai, New Delhi.
New Delhi.
Yeah, that's where I come from.
Uh-huh.
And
you sound like you've got a British accent though. You've spent some time in the UK.
It's because of my parents. They spent their entire life in the UK. They met in the UK.
Whereabouts?
In Sussex.
Okay.
Yeah. Father used to live in Brighton.
Nice.
And he met my mom over there. And when I was in my mom's belly, they both decided to come back to India and to give their children the Indian culture,
yeah.
And but they didn't realize that they brought a lot of British culture along
with them.
So yeah,
well, that's good because I get you get to experience more than just one culture. I think it's always nice when you're growing up to understand different cultures. It helps you become a more rounded person, and I think it certainly helps you in this job.
Indeed, not just about this job. I mean, in today's world, it's all about the multicultural. It's all about the vastity of the knowledge you have, and the more you can explore. And there's so much out there to explore, and one must know how things are done in a different place. And it helps you develop yourself. It helps you to relate with other people. And sure,
definitely. Have you traveled a lot?
I have traveled a lot in India because India is
such a big place, right?
It's huge.
What's the population of India now?
It's in billions. 1.2 some. I'm not very good at stats. I stopped counting long time ago. But yeah, it's quite
1.2.
Yeah, more. I mean, it can be more.
Let's we can check. Yeah, yeah, let's check. Let's bring it up. 1.2. That is just crazy.
Can
isn't
be
it?
More. I mean, I'm not sure. Can be more.
Population of India. I'm gonna say 1.2, and it always seems to me. I've never been to India.
You should.
Yeah, I had some friends that visited, and one friend that I really didn't think would like it at all, like it just not really his scene. He went with work and he came back and he was completely changed. He said it was amazing. He really enjoyed it. He visited the Taj Mahal. He was there for about 5 days. I think he had like 2 days on work, and then he took another 3 days to go around and stuff. And it looked interesting. It looked fascinating. It looks like... It was quite very green, like where he was.
Yes,
like very nice. You know, green fauna, fresh countryside.
Well, I originally my family originally comes from the city of Taj. That's Agra.
So that is. Wait, it's 1.339
now
1. Billion. That was 2017. So probably close to 1.4 billion now, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Oh no, live 1.368. As of Wednesday, the 19th of June.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Like, I myself am shocked.
Yeah. Huge population. 21.75 million people in New Delhi.
Yes, sir. It's quite crowded.
Yeah.
But it's a huge capital. I mean, you'll still find... But it's one of the greenest capitals around the world as well.
Is it?
It is. And you will find trees... And I mean,
parks. Do you have a lot of parks?
Everything. I mean,
I always get the impression of the feeling and the vibe. Obviously, I've never been, so I don't know. But I feel like it's really densely populated and really difficult to get around. Is that true?
It's
someone told me that if you get stuck in traffic at the wrong time, like you can be stuck.
There are places like that, like in Mumbai. Now they call it Mumbai. I prefer calling it Bombay because. That's what I grew up on, and I mean, it sounds nice, and why would you change a name after so many years?
Why did they change the name after so many years?
I don't know. I mean, I really like what Russell Peters,
yeah.
Right? He's come up with this, like, they changed the name after, I mean, British left India in 1947.
Yeah.
And they changed the name after, like, 50 years? Or so, I mean, why would you do that? If you wanted to show that you own the place, you would have done it right then and there.
Yeah,
like you're leaving.
Okay,
it's Mumbai, but they just happened to change it after such a long time, and I have no idea why would they do that. I mean,
seems weird how like that's obviously a big decision, and they probably did a lot of you know. Talking about it, and it took them
a
long time.
Money would have been spent,
and it's just like, who cares? Change the names, do something that's actually going to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know the story. Maybe it's important to people, so I don't want to offend anyone.
Neither do I.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. So obviously, growing up in New Delhi.
Yes.
How was that? What did you take to as a child growing up? Did you have any hobbies, interests? Were you into sport? Were you into, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I've considered myself as an artist? since I was small.
Music, right?
Not just music, but in many other things. I love music. I mean, I'm a huge fan. It comes from my father. I inherited from my father. He's a huge fan of Pink Floyd.
Okay.
He has
that's
all the vinyl
influence,
records.
The British influence.
Yeah. And I used to listen with him when I was small. And but to be honest, if you talk about today, I still listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a huge fan.
Give me a Pink Floyd song. I don't think I probably recognize it.
I mean,
but I couldn't tell you any Pink Floyd songs.
There's so many. I mean, Wish You Were Here, Comfortably Numb. And if you go by the right way to listen to Pink Floyd is going by the album. You can't pick a song because most of the album, and I should say all of the album, 90% would be are intertwined. The songs are okay. That's a beautiful number. Yeah, indeed.
You know this one?
Yes, it's Wish You Were Here.
Are they British, right?
Pink Floyd is a hardcore. British.
Wow, 187 million views. You know this song, right?
Indeed.
Any f- nice, it's more relaxed than I thought it would be.
With very deep meaning and the lyrics.
I like that. I might give it I might have to get one of the albums on over the weekend.
Yeah, must listen to the album. Don't pick a song, that's not the right way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, all the songs are intertwined.
Yeah.
So you must put on the album and let it play.
Just let it play and let it go. Yeah, maybe that'd be nice. Friday morning,
yes,
listening.
Yes, yes.
Tomorrow morning. So you got into music, and what other types of art are you into? Do you draw?
I paint.
Okay,
I paint and I draw. I'm a sketch artist. I can sketch you if you like.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, why not? Apart from that, I also really really like cooking.
Oh really?
Yeah, I cook. I'm a huge fan and try to create my own.
What do you
recipes.
Like? What type of food do you like to cook? What's your spec? What's your, if you had to cook one meal and you had to really impress someone, what would it be?
I'll go with, oh my God. Now this
go
is
on.
Not, no, this is not correct. You can't ask me. It depends on if it is, it depends on the person who I'm cooking
for. Me.
For. Okay. If I want to cook something for you, I'm going to treat you to a steak.
Steak?
Yeah.
Nice. What type of steak? I've recently started cooking steaks a lot, you know.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've started cooking them quite a lot. My girlfriend doesn't eat meat.
Okay.
Well, she doesn't eat red meat. She has some chicken sometimes, but she's kind of not eating meat.
Makes
at the
sense.
So,
actually.
But she flies, so when she's away, I go and get a steak and I cook it. And I've kind of feel like I've perfected it. I've been watching YouTube videos about how to make the perfect steak.
Because
what I always used to do is put the salt on before I fry it.
Yes.
But apparently, that salt can dry out the meat a little bit, so it's better to just put the salt on to finish it.
Okay.
Little things like that. I like.
Now the most
learning.
Important thing for cooking is the vessel you're cooking in. I cook on cast iron.
Yes, thick, heavy cast iron keeps the heat, and then the meat doesn't cool the pan down, right?
Exactly.
The pan heats the meat straight away.
And if you talk about health wise, I mean that's the Teflon is actually not very good for health.
Really?
It's actually bad for health.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That coating, whatever chemical, they're very strong chemicals.
Yeah.
They're using on it, and it's the wrong way of cooking.
Okay.
If we want to cook, we should be going backwards, like how our grandmothers used to cook, and that was the right method and the right way of cooking. So
I agree. Less chemicals, more natural food, more real food. No processed.
Yes.
And crap.
So the pan is the key.
Okay.
And then the pan needs to be heated. Even it takes time. Cast iron. It takes time to heat up. And with the steak, you can eat. I mean, what I do is before putting the steak on the pan, I do season the steak with some salt and pepper.
Okay.
And when the temperature is right, the oil is right, and you put the steak, and you must hear
noise.
That noise.
Yeah.
That's what it gives the color.
Okay.
To the steak.
Now, what do you do? How long do you leave it on each side? What do you like? Medium?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Steak. That's a lot, isn't it?
Now on very low heat.
Oh, low heat. Ah.
Very very low heat.
Ah.
I take it for me to cook a steak. It takes 1 hour.
No way.
But that steak is
what type? Is it T-bone or strip bone?
I mean,
or
it can be any. You can choose whatever meat you fancy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is the method.
Okay.
How you're preparing it. I love ribeye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of ribeye.
Yeah.
It's very tender.
Yeah.
It gets cooked very evenly and
nice.
I quite like it.
Like a steak. I like steak. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen Arpan's drawings? He's really good. He's just.
I
sketches.
Haven't.
You've not seen them.
I have never. I've never got a chance.
Let me show you on Instagram. He's he's really impressive. His drawings are different. I'll show you now. See what you think of these. I had no idea that he was such a good artist.
Well, the world is full of artists. Wow.
More like a cartoon kind of sketch.
Oh no, these
shout out to Arpan. His Instagram handle is, what is it? Artman?
Arpan underscore the underscore artman.
The underscore
Artman.
Artman. The underscore Artman.
Yeah. Yeah. We have quite depth to it. I mean, there is something going on in his head. I can definitely tell. I mean, yeah. Wow. Cool. Yeah, very cool. Nice. Amazing.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? So talk to me about as you were growing up. Obviously, you're in sales now. How did you fall into this industry, or how did you get into sales?
Well, I when I came to Dubai, I came here for work.
Yeah.
I was browsing through the options where I can work, and I am someone who likes the control of his own life. If you put me behind a desk 9 to 5, you just shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
But otherwise I'll do it after some time myself. So yeah, I saw real estate. I had a look into it, and I quite like. It's very adventurous.
Yeah,
you get to meet a lot of new people.
True.
You get to talk to different people, and I really love that. Meeting different people, talking to new people, I really enjoy it. And essentially what you're doing is you're finding a place for someone to live in, and it is such a nice thing. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And I really like to put I really like to step into their shoes.
Yeah.
And to see what they would really like, and to give someone that place. I mean, it has, you get a feeling which I can't express. I mean,
yeah.
When you see it in on the look on their faces when they love something,
yeah,
and it's a house, it's a home they make out of it, and
yeah,
you just can't. I mean, it's amazing.
That's nice. Yeah, it's good, nice that you actually really enjoy the job. You're not just doing it for the money, I guess. You actually
it have, is. Yeah, of course, every job is for the money, and it's good money.
Can be good.
Yeah, it can be good. But apart from the money, it's. I love the adventure. Yeah. I love. The running around and yeah, reaching places, reaching places on time, and traveling through the whole day. So I'm not sitting on a desk, and that's what I like. I like to go around and have control of my own time, and I can choose the day I don't want to work and I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as I
freedom.
Yeah, freedom thing. It's a freedom thing.
Yeah.
Nice. I like to paint. I just finished a section of painting, and these days I'm really into galactical.
Okay.
I started with our neighboring galaxy that's called Andromeda.
Okay.
So I finished that, and then I did.
How do you mean you finished that? What, you drew the whole galaxy?
Yeah, on a canvas. The way it looks like from I saw a lot of documentaries. Saw Cosmos and The yeah. Farthest. It's an amazing documentary. You must see The Farthest. It's about the Voyager missions. Mm. They sent out two probes back in 1940s.
Really?
Yeah, that's how we discovered, and they're still traveling. Both the probes, they're still traveling.
Wow.
And they're not going to be coming back. And the golden record, if you'd remember, they placed the golden record on the, it has 100 songs and greetings from the people of the planet Earth.
Really?
And
I didn't know that.
Traveling out,
and they just fly. And do they have track of it now? No, surely
they
not.
They have. Seriously? They have. They have. A couple of years ago, in 2016, I believe,
they found it.
Barack Obama announced that the Voyager 2 has actually left our solar system in 2016, and they'll keep on traveling. They're not going to be coming back, and they relay the data. From there, and just imagine how the technology has changed from 1940s till now. But
exactly.
but those two probes are still running
going.
On that same technology, and that's how we got to know that apart from Saturn, Neptune has rings, the Saturn rings.
Yeah.
That was quite amazing. You must watch that. It's called The Farthest.
The Farthest.
Yeah, it was released, I believe, last year.
Okay.
It's quite new, the documentary.
Where did you watch it? YouTube, is it on YouTube or is it on Netflix?
You can find it on Netflix. It you can find it online.
The Farthest.
The Farthest is the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you always been interested in?
Yes. Yes, I have. It's very fascinating, and when you look into it, you realize something about your own self, and. I don't know. For me it's a mystery thing.
I guess it kind of puts into perspective just how insignificant we are. I think a lot of people are saying now that one of the big problems with living in major cities is the light pollution, and in the evening you just don't see the sky. There's no stars. There's nothing there, especially in Dubai when it's humid and it's just nothing. But when, you know, I went to Mauritius recently, and in the evening you walk outside and you see all of the stars in the sky, and you just look up and you just see how big this...
How small you are.
How big this place is, and how...
And how selfish.
How nothing, you know, how we're just literally just nothing. Yeah. And when you watch programs like that, it really does put it into perspective. It's like we're just a drop of water in the sea, or a speck of sand on a beach. We're just, you know, so insignificant, and sometimes that's like a freeing, you know, feeling to have, that don't take life too seriously.
Of course,
we're just nothing compared to what else is out there. No, that's interesting.
Yes.
So we kind of got off track then a little bit. What were we saying? Sales. How you got? So you came to Dubai. What were you doing before you came to Dubai? Did you go to university?
I went to a university in New Delhi, and I actually chose a very niche. My father had a shoe factory.
Okay.
It's in our ancestral business.
Were you not in line to take that business over from him?
I still design for my father.
What type of shoes?
A classic Goodyear Velted shoes, the ones I'm wearing right now.
Let me see.
I don't know if you can see it from...
Get your leg up. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, and...
They're like real... Is it wooden? Are they wooden soles?
No, it's leather.
Leather soles.
It's leather. It's leather. It's vegetable tanned leather soles and leather insole. And
where do you guys sell them?
We sell them to a company in UK. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to reveal the name of the company, but it's a very famous company in UK. They have outsourced their production, a part of their production,
to you guys,
to us, and it's been since the time of my grandfather. So the business started in 1939, where India was still under the British rule.
Okay.
And my great-grandfather actually started the business, the factory, and then it came to my grandfather, and then my father, and my younger brother is now helping my father in carrying it out. But I was a bit radical in the family, and I couldn't... it's difficult for me to...
Tie it down.
Yeah, and but I still design all the shoes for my factory, and I specialize in leather technology as education, if you...
Really?
If you want. Yes. Okay. And I'm here selling real estate.
Educate me on leather technology.
Well, for the best health of your feet, you must wear a Goodyear welted shoe. Goodyear welted shoe.
Goodyear welted.
Yeah, it's a type of construction. Goodyear welted construction was developed by Charles Goodyear in the 1600s.
Tires, right?
Goodyear
tires. Goodyear rubber.
No. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the tire company.
Because I think Goodyear do some soles now. I'm sure with the new Adidas trainers, I'm sure it has a Goodyear stamp on the bottom for the rubber that they make.
Oh, anyway. It can be for the rubber.
Yeah, okay, anyway,
ignore me. This was Charles Goodyear was the guy, the person who invented this construction, and it is the pristine.
Yeah.
I mean, the president of US or the president, the prime minister of... Anywhere, yeah. I mean, if they're attending a formal function or a formal ceremony, that's the shoe they're going to be wearing, and that's the shoe I'm wearing, and that's the shoe everyone should wear, for the best health of your feet and for the best health of your body. It lies in the feet.
True. That's true. Can you get me a purr?
Of course.
Can you sort me out?
Yeah, sure. What colour do you like? We do all sorts.
I'm like a black. On a shoe, just a plain black shoe.
Do you have a blue?
I do have blue shoes on right now.
You need to get more blue.
Do you think?
Blue is in.
Blue is in?
Yeah.
The thing is, these are like blue suede shoes, but they're very dark navy blue.
Yes. Quite nice, actually.
But these are just, you know what? My other shoes, I actually left them at a friend's house for the last week or so. So that's why I've got these on today.
They look lovely.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll be interested. Talk me out of her. Obviously, I'll buy them off you. I'm not just saying give me a freebie, but yeah.
You're very kind.
We keep getting sidetracked. We were talking about, so
yes,
you
real
didn't,
estate.
So that was kind of your, and were you involved in sales at all in that business?
No, I was not involved in sales, just design and production. I was taking care of mostly the design segment is what I was responsible for, and I'm still responsible for.
Okay.
And the design, but the design, people normally confuse the design of the way it looks. The design is the function. Uh-huh. The fashion is the looks. I don't know if you can relate to that. The design is basically the principal function of the shoe. It's the character of the shoe or anything, a chair or an airplane or whatever. The way it looks is a different thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Design is the
function.
Function.
Yes. And the way it looks is the basically the fashion.
Okay.
It keeps changing.
Do you sell direct to consumer? Can people buy these shoes?
Yes, they can. I have a Facebook page where we customize shoes according to the person and what
they
want.
What's it
called? Goodyear Welted Shoemakers.
Goodyear Welted Shoemakers.
Yeah, that's on Facebook. I have a
Welted,
small page.
Welted. Welted. Goodyear Welted Shoemakers.
Yes.
Okay, is now the official sponsor of the Dubai Life podcast.
That's amazing.
You got to pay a lot to get that name mentioned. Only joking. Okay, so what was your first position in Dubai?
I started working as a real estate consultant.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the job before you came?
No, I explored. I had no idea what I'm gonna do.
So you just landed in Dubai and thought, right?
I didn't come with a CV or anything. I just landed here. I went and I only had visa for 1 month,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking around different places, different sort of options where I can work. I was staying in Deira at that time, in the real heart of Dubai. It's brilliant food out there. In Deira, if you go and visit, I mean the food
is. We'll talk about the food in a minute. I was actually in Deira, Birdubai, Deira earlier
the
other evening with my one of my clients.
Okay.
And she'd lived there for like 30 years, and she showed me around. We had some food. She just knew everybody walking through the streets, and I really enjoyed it. It was like just
you find a soul
not Dubai.
Of the city.
It's the real world. It's just not what you see on. You know, on TV, or it's not.
You'll find a soul.
Yeah, it was
of the city.
Yeah.
In Deira, that's how I would like to put.
You know, just a really busy streets, people on bikes.
Yes, yes.
Difficult to get a parking space.
No parking. You won't find a parking there. It's difficult, indeed. Parking is very.
You know, it was really cool. So they have shops in around the area,
uh-huh.
and we managed to get a parking quite some distance away. And I've got an Abu Dhabi Reg. I don't have the M parking on my phone.
Okay.
And she just walked into the shop, into one of the shops, and she was like, "Just give them your key. Give them a few coins, and she said, just keep an eye on the car and make sure it's got a ticket on it." And they just looked after it. And I was like, "That's like you don't get that.
No,
you know, community and like helping each other out and things.
Yes,
I've not seen that before really in Dubai. It was really nice to see. So." You were straight into real estate, and how did you find it at first?
Well, I was looking around, and a friend actually knew a company who were hiring people for brokers for real estate.
Uh-huh.
And he just recommended me to go and just to have a chat. Okay. With the owners of the company, and I visited them, and they really liked me. I told them I have no idea. I have zero knowledge about real estate, especially real estate in Dubai. And they said, well, you just go ahead, jump in the ocean, and you'll learn everything yourself. And then here I am, 6 years after.
Still going. Yes. Still going strong.
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
That's good. It shows that you've obviously got skills, and you've got something, because to last for 6 years, I remember when I started, the biggest shock for me was just the turnover rates. In the first company I worked in, all the people that we joined together, there was maybe one or two of us that lasted, and there was probably about eight of us that started at the same time. And that's quite normal in real estate, because it is tough, and the people, especially coming from the UK, they see the glitz and the glamour of it.
Yes.
And they see these mansions and the videos, and they just expect it to be a nice, comfortable way of life, just showing these amazing properties, you know, finishing early and just taking rest all the time. But that's not the case. So,
no.
So you've obviously worked tough, and you've worked hard, and you're obviously successful. So that's good.
Yes.
Good to see.
Working hard, and in any field or anywhere you are, you need to work hard.
Yes.
To make up for it. I mean,
yeah.
to do justice with your work. And what I believe the most important thing, and I believe you don't essentially need a sales background.
No.
To be a broker, what you really need is empathy inside of you. The key thing
I like that.
For being a broker is to be empathetic,
understanding of what the,
because you see, it's a lot of money you're dealing with. I mean, 1 million dirhams, 2 million dirhams, 5 million dirhams. I mean, someone saves their entire life just to buy a house.
Mm.
And you can't just play around with that sort of money. I mean, you just can't.
No.
So you have to be empathetic towards that, and then everything is going to be very easy. I mean, that's the only thing.
Yeah, if you have that and you work hard, work ethic and empathy, I like that.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Good,
yes.
That's a good. We're picking up gems on this podcast. Just dropping gems all over the place.
I consider myself as a layman.
Let's go to these questions now. So I briefed you a couple of days ago, right?
Yes, you
on the
did.
Podcast,
I forgot. Yeah.
The Dubai Life. We always kind of wrap
you
things
did?
Up with.
You did. Yes.
Three.
Yes.
Three questions.
My God.
You got your answers written down?
I haven't.
No,
I didn't
worry.
Prepare anything.
That's probably better. That's better, to be honest. So, I mean, the first one, we always like to talk. I'm a foodie. I class myself as a foodie. I love going out and eating and trying new things and just eating tons of food in general. So, what
makes
do
sense.
You... Let's go with your favourite favorite meal, like low end. What do you like to eat? Takeaway, or what do you like? Have you found any nice places in Dubai where you just like to go as a regular?
My favorite low end, I mean, by low end you mean
low
price.
End, like for me, you know,
like a comfortable regular meal.
Yeah, just something, yeah, that you go out and you can even have it in, just something like what answers have we had so far? We've had KFC, I think, from Ben. We've had Gallus chicken from Andrew, which is a place in JBR that deliver like Nando's, French style.
Fried chicken.
Rotisserie cooked chicken.
Okay.
We've had places in Bur Dubai.
All right.
And, you know, we've had, a mix. So what would you say?
Well, a meal like that has to be biryani for me.
Biryani.
Yeah.
Have you tried biryani? Yeah, I tried biryani. There's a place in Jumeirah called Biryani Pot, and they used to deliver the biryani in a clay pot.
Yes.
With like a pastry topping.
Yes.
That
yes,
was really
yes.
cool.
That's good biryani, actually.
Yeah.
If you're talking about biryani, and there's a place in Deira, it's called Tayyab Kitchen.
Tayyab.
Yeah, Tayyab. T A Y E B.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a ghetto So and that's where you get the real food, actually. I mean, it's very busy. Mm. The waiters would, you'll find them very rude, but they won't care if you're
just
offended.
About the food, nothing
it's
else.
It's just about the food. You go there, you eat, and you quickly leave from there because it's so busy. Mm. And you'll be finding strangers sitting on the same table where you are sitting, and everybody's just involved in eating their food, and it's delicious. It's a bit spicy, but it is delicious.
Tayyab.
Yeah, Tayyab Kitchen.
Nice, I like that. Tayyab Kitchen.
It's near the clock tower. Okay. In Deira.
Clock tower in Deira. Yes. Tayyab. All right, nice. That's I like that. Yeah. Something that we've not had before. And how about like a really nice meal? Would you like to go out and really just blast the cash and enjoy yourself and just, you know, enjoy having a nice meal with friends?
I would like to mention two places in this case. One is the JW Steakhouse in JW Marriott Marquis.
The Business Bay one?
Yes.
There's two, isn't there? There's one in Deira.
No, I'm talking about the
Business
main,
Bay.
Yeah, the Business Bay. It's
Prime 68, is that what it's called?
It's called JW Steakhouse.
Oh, is it called JW Steakhouse?
Yes.
All right.
That's the name of the
like
restaurant.
That. Well, you like a steak, don't you? So that makes
sense. Yes, yes. Yeah, indeed. And another place would be Nobu in Atlantis.
Yeah. Do you know what? I haven't been to Nobu. Never
you
tried it.
You must try the Wagyu meat sliders.
Wagyu meat sliders in Nobu.
That just they are going to blow your brains out of proportions. I mean, you're going to get three of them.
Yeah.
But it not enough. I mean,
you
can eat. I can eat like 15 of those. They're so delicious. I mean, can't stop eating.
Good. Yeah. I'm going to try that.
You must. It's a recommendation from my side.
Done. Okay. I'll try it out. And being in property, you get to see some amazing places. So you'll have a good idea on this question. If money was no object, where would you live in Dubai, Asim? Where would you like to stay?
Okay,
what's
we have
the dream.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, this is something which I actually prepared to answer. So I mean, I have seen everything in terms of real estate. I mean, you have the sea, you have the desert, you have the city, you have the crowd, you have downtown, you have the madness, and everything. I really like to live on the Palm because of the sea, maybe a villa over there. But after I visited Jumeirah Golf Estate, and when I saw the forest inside, and the greenery, I mean, I fell in love with that place. And if money wasn't an object, then Jumeirah Golf Estate.
Which villa specifically did you see? The hillside.
I have seen the hillside.
It's amazing.
Beautiful.
It's really nice, isn't it?
You fell in love.
And
with
it's just
it,
the right size. 16,000 square foot built up. It's not too big.
Yes.
You know, there are obviously mansions in Emirates Hills and Dubai Hills, which are 30,000 square foot built up. But I think I don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, myself, we grew up in India. We grew up in our ancestral home, and it was huge because at that time, joint families.
Yeah.
Like, grandfather had five brothers, and all of them had like two, three sons and their sons. So it was like a huge township kind of a place. It still is. And
how many bedrooms? How many square feet?
I remember in yards. I don't remember in square feet. It was around. It was around 4,000 yards.
4,000 yards.
Yeah, the entire place, if I'm not mistaken, and can't remember. I mean, more than 25 bedrooms has to be.
Oh my!
It has
like
to be.
Sounds like a palace.
Yeah, it's
castle.
But not exactly castle, but built in a very old
style,
and it was like a bunch of houses.
Yeah,
but they're interconnected.
Compound, all connected.
All of them interconnected, and because there was one house which was my great grandfather's, and there were three brothers. But at the time of partition, two of them they left to Pakistan, and my grandfather, the great grandfather, he decided to stay, and he had five kids, so they built a house adjacent to the old one, and when they got kids, they built their houses close connected. So it actually grew out of one house, it grew out. Nice. And it's amazing. Yeah, I remember my childhood.
Must have been amazing as a child growing up.
Yeah, we used to fly kites on the roof, and I mean, you can run about on the roof, and if you have done something wrong, it's so easy to escape and hide, and mom will never be able to find you, and that was amazing.
That was the best part, I can imagine, growing up.
Those were the best days, indeed.
Well, I'll wrap things up. I think that was really good. I enjoyed talking to you. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed it and taken away some gems from you today. I think it's been quite educational.
Well, I hope so as well, and I try to be as connected to people and connected to myself and to the element of who we are. Okay. We are basically humans,
yes,
and we are all related. I mean, the science have proved it, and so we must.
Cool, man. And it's been about an hour now. Tell people how they can find you. You're on Instagram?
Yes, I am on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. My name is on Facebook, Asim Mohammed. Okay. You can find me on Facebook, Asim Mohammed, on Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Great.
And I have a mobile. If I'm allowed to tell my mobile number, I don't know.
Go for it.
It's 052-902-3343. You can give me a call, and if you're looking for a nice place for yourself, I will do my best to get what you so desire.
If you mention hashtag Dubai Life, you'll get 25% discount.
Hashtag Dubai Life, 25% discount.
Asim, let's wrap it up, because Jason's giving me evils for the office. Thanks a lot, man.
Wonderful. Really appreciate Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So there we have it. I hope you've all enjoyed hearing Asad's stories. Sorry, not Asad, Asim. Asim's stories today. I really enjoyed it. That's it for today. Thank you to everybody who's listened so far and given me a like rating. It really helps boost the profile of the podcast and gets the message out to more people. The podcast is brought to you by luxuryproperty.com, Dubai's luxury brokerage. So you can check out all of our amazing listings online at www.luxuryproperty.com. You can also follow me and drop me a message on Instagram at LiamJeffreyDXB. Also, you can follow me on YouTube and Facebook just under Liam Jeffrey. Thanks, everyone. Until next time. Catch you later.